probably going to cause some arcs. That's all I was... Yeah, unless there's more to it.
That was in the very preliminary research stage when I left, and it hasn't come up since I'm back. But it is a big issue in the industry, and yes, it was getting attention. But like I said, when things got cut off, we really didn't have anything very much. Although there are items you can buy, standalone items, I think that will do that. So it might not be any point to making a big deal about it. Just, you know, throw one of those in the regular toolkit.
I know you could buy circuit breakers for your breaker box that have arc detectors built in them. And in fact, they're now required by code, so it's a relatively common thing. And they're available at Home Depot and Lowe's for, you know, roughly $50 each, which is kind of steep for a breaker. But you know, if you need it, you need it. And I think the code says that any place where you'd put a ground fault interrupter, it's likely to require a arc protection type of circuit breaker. And what little reading I did about it says that arcs typically have a roughly 100 kilohertz bandwidth, kind of a buzzing type of a thing. So they have a circuit that'll detect presence of energy in the 100 kilohertz or so region, assume it's an arc, and cut the breaker. And then there's a lot of variations on that theme in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. What you just said is pretty close to a close match to where I am on the subject, so I don't have to tell you. You know it already.
You know, I don't want to come off as a know-it-all, but, you know, due to the fact that we recently renovated the house and did a whole bunch of wiring in our kitchen, you know, I was looking into that stuff. And my overall impression is that code revisions get made because these manufacturers want to sell you something. Also, there was a lot of cooperation between the ARRL research labs, ARRL labs, and the manufacturers of these things because apparently, in addition to 100 kilohertz energy, apparently HF amateur radio transceivers would have the bad habit of knocking those things off, and the manufacturers absolutely wanted to prevent that.
I don't really see that, but I do not have any hands-on experience, so maybe there's something there I'm not aware of. But yeah, it's an interesting subject. But like I said, at this point in time, it really is not part and parcel of what we are doing, but that's possible that might change. But right now, I'm just waiting to see how long this gig lasts. Depending on how some things work out, it might go for quite a while, or I might be out of there in another week, because I don't think I need much more than another week to finish this thing up, so we'll have to see how that plays out. Let's see, let me leave it over you. I think what else I want to say, there's something I can't remember.
Yeah, okay. And just out of curiosity, when you load a branch circuit looking for the voltage drop, is it some sort of a resistance load, you know, some kind of like a heater, and you have to walk around with this thing from circuit to circuit to make it work? Or is it somehow or other transcend all the branch circuits? With, you know, I could see walking around with some kind of a device to plug in and watching the load and then monitoring what happens. But to do that on all the circuits more or less simultaneously could be interesting. Because most of the time and money spent here is walking around and plugging the thing in and then taking the reading.
You say some kind of a heater. It's along those lines. It is a very, very, very high precision device. And it is still available from Home Depot for $20.
Yeah, well, I didn't think a resistor was likely to be expensive. At least, I'm kind of thinking it's a resistor. But then again, it may be more interesting if it had some reactants in it.
No, no reactants, no intense. At 60 cycle, reactors out big. It's basically a basic, plain vanilla space heater is the load.
That's pretty much what I would have assumed, and I think that those things can be made to be reasonably precise. I'm thinking 1% shouldn't be too tough with that, and it's probably not especially difficult to make it more accurate than that.
The actual precision is irrelevant. You know, you just want to verify that the voltage drop is, within standards. We're not looking for somebody hovering right around the no-go point. It's either you're in or you're out, and the middle ground is probably out anyway.
Okay. So, now let's get back to the central location device. Don't quite know what you're looking for. If it's arcing, is it some sort of a broadband receiver that's going to be looking for increase in noise at, around the 100 kilohertz area? Is there characteristics of that sort of a noise that it can, I guess I'd call it, go into signal recognition mode to distinguish it from other sorts of noise?
Are you talking about how one detects them?
Right. Yes, I am.
The problem is there's very little out there in the open literature. I think all of the manufacturers are very, very sensitive about their proprietary designs. And it was slow going, gut busting, put it like you were, but I really don't have much to offer on that subject, because, the lesson hadn't gone too far.
Okay. You may want to check with the, believe it or not, with the ARRL and see what their RFI lab came up with, because they did publish some stuff on that very issue.
At the moment, I have no charter to do that, and my plate is full enough that I don't think I want to go down that rabbit hole on my own, at least not yet. Right now, I'm kind of running in circles. I have Wednesday evening to worry about. I haven't recuperated yet from this weekend's backpack trip that turned out being a mission abort. We did the whole thing, but we did it in one day rather than camp out because somebody got hurt and we figured we had to get him home, and that made the logistics of overnight untenable. But, he'll be fine, but we decided he ain't spending the night. And then, there was no way for everybody to get home the next day. So we just said, the heck with it, it's not even like a nice day. It wasn't pouring there like it is here, but it was, raw and drizzly all day. So I still haven't recuperated from that little bit. And I have the camper really next weekend, so I'm kind of running around like your average middle school.
Yeah, you sure seem to have a full plate. Which I guess is better than the opposite, which all too often happens to us retirees, looking at a whole day with nothing on the plate. That's kind of a scary thing. So, anyway, I'm going to go over here. I have a few things I got to get done, too. And I'm sitting here in my pajamas, and I think I actually have to do some stuff outside, so not feeling like walking around in my pajamas outside.
I am here, let me go, but let me make a parting comment. Yes, when I'm sitting around with nothing on my plate, in an incredibly ghoulish fashion, I am depending on the war in Ukraine. Because, in Northrop Grumman, I did a lot of work in combat control, combat ID, all of this kind of stuff. So, I've been paying rapt attention. And I've become quite the expert on what's going there within the limitations of what I can find out. I'm finding there's nothing on the main media that you have to delve into YouTube to find out any details, and then, of course, the whole thing might be pure propaganda, but I'm entertaining myself with that, which I freely admit is incredibly foolish.
Ooh. Yeah, to get real information about propaganda seems to be very difficult to do, and we all know that, you know, false news is the motto of the day. And I've noticed a lot of stuff, especially in the Yahoo News, and to a somewhat lesser extent, maybe in the Facebook News. An awful lot of stuff seems to be coming from the Ukrainian version of Pravda. And, of course, it's all tilted in a certain way. And I feel for those guys, but at the same time, I can't trust that news. It's, you know, it's not objective. So that's a little scary. And the same thing is true of news coming from the other side. It's not, you know, you can't really trust it. So there's some level of skepticism about what's really going on over there. And with that, I'll let you go since you're arrived at where you have to be. WB2EAV, WB2IKT.
Let me just say this. Everything on Russian media is an out-and-out, bold-faced lie that makes, you know, lies we're hearing from politicians in this country look like child's play. They are counting on totally clamping down on the Russian people, you know, not being able to learn what's really going on and how many of their children are dying there. But I think that, you know, brick wall is starting to crumble and things are going to get very nasty. As far as the Ukrainian side is, they are being backed up by a large percentage of the world. And while every military exaggerates and spins, there's a limit to how far they're going to go because they don't want to risk the rest of the world getting, you know, losing faith in them if they go too far.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I get that. It's just, you know, I just have to take everything, you know, as they used to say, with a grain of salt. And just be a bit skeptical. And I have no doubt that you're correct from what I read, but I'm not ever sure that I'm reading something objective. That's all I'm trying to say, and you ought to wonder about it. And, you know, what decisions do you have to make because of it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not denying that at all. I'm just saying I wouldn't throw anything coming out of Russia, you know, I wouldn't count on anything because 99.9% of it's proof lies, and I doubt the last 0.1% is any better. Oh, funny comment. When, you know, for Mother's Day, we saw my, you know, daughter, her husband, and my granddaughter. And the subject of how her favorite color is changing around came up. And I was waiting to be asked what my favorite color is. I never got the chance to volunteer because I thought it would have been a real eye roller. But I feel, you know, my favorite color is, I call it Fraunhofer yellow. I looked it up last night. It's 589 and 590 nanometers, where they're a narrow height, let me say high Q, gaps in the spectrum of sunlight due to the absorption of sodium atoms, I assume, in the sun's atmosphere. And I think there's something elegant about having a favorite color because there's a gap where it was taken out of sunlight.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, you know, considering that, you know, typically what we see is reflected. You know, our eyes are basically optical receivers. And if that color isn't there in the illuminating spectrum, I don't see how objects would be capable of reflecting it. So, is your favorite color the one you never see?
Not to worry. Any light bulb does put it out.
Yeah, and I'm assuming you mean an incandescent light bulb. I'm not so sure that the spectral output of an LED lamp is a nice smooth curve. I suspect it's a series of a whole bunch of high-Q resonators sending data out all at once.
No, I actually did research it. You know, you can get yourself a lousy, inexpensive spectrometer. It's a diffraction grating and a slit. And, the slit is obviously nothing with nothing, but a diffraction grating, you can buy it very, very inexpensively and make a little spectrometer. You can even buy a toy spectrometer from Amazon, I believe. And I've done that test. I built one myself back when I was like in college just for a goof. When I found out I could buy a diffraction grating for some ridiculous low price. And I found out that those mercury vapor street lights that were very common in that era, before the sodium vapor ones, were exactly what you thought. A narrow band spectrum of primarily blue and green. And you could actually see the lines. You know, it wasn't like it was, like filtered. No, it was almost, very, very precise. And I tried that more recently with actually a toy spectrometer I bought from Amazon. And the LED lights seem to be a pretty much a full spectrum. They do not have that characteristic. All right, listen, enough of this nonsense. I have to go inside. With that WB2EAD is clear.
Okay, 73, have a good day. And we'll see you tomorrow. WB2EAD, WB2IKT is clear.
Tomorrow and Wednesday. I don't know if I can take the stress. WB3 if you're gone.
And Y2H, testing 1-2.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is N2ZUC Mobile listening.
W2VL repeater.
N2ZUC Mobile listening.
N2ZUC, N2WKP returning to you. How are you, Rob?
Hello, Fred. I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Thank God we can't complain. How about you? What's going on? What's new in the world of the gym?
I haven't been since COVID started. I didn't go back.
Gotcha. Well, are you out there walking? Well, the weather's terrible. But I've been trying to get out there and walk.
Well, we have Hendrickson Park. My wife and I go there, but not with the weather. With the wind and the cold. We'll get back into the swing of things. We do go to Echo Park pool, and I swim twice a week there.
Ah, very good. Very good. Now that you get some exercise in, that's good. Yeah, so, what else is new, Ron? Any new radio equipment or what? You running HF?
I got an FD-60R. It's an HC. It's a dual band and nothing to shout about. I'm on HF, not all that often. I like to make a contact here and there.
Gotcha, Ron. Gotcha. I'm working on that same radio. I've had it for years. I've had two of them. They're good little radios. You can't beat these little guys.
Well, that's what you're on now?
Yep, 100%, Ron. We're on a, an FT-60R.
Well, if you're only running a 5-1 from your location, if you're at the QTH, that's pretty good from there.
Yeah, I have the Diamond larger antenna on it. I've got, I think it's the one that goes to the, I have another radio, it's a little Kenwood. And that one's a tri-bander, so I'm using the extended Diamond antenna on it. And it works very well.
I have other antennas that go on. I had a 50R, I have one south. So I kept the antennas. So I use the mid-size one. I have a little one that's not the greatest. They're all Diamonds. I think the little one is about 8 inches tall, and the bigger one is about, I don't know if it's 12 inches or 18 inches. It's a longer width for sure.
Yeah, this one that I'm using right now is very good. Very good. This little radio, like I said, I did have two of them. I eventually just got rid of one because no sense in having two of them. Don't know how I ended up with two, but I did. But, yeah, it's a nice little HT. You can't complain.
I'm going to back in the driver, but I have a question about charging. In the book, it says, wait for the icon that says it needs to be charged. But when you first turn it on, well, I'm going to have to pull over and move that tail. It's right my way. When you first turn it on, it gives you the voltage. So it's already down to 7, but the icon hasn't come up yet. And I'm trying to wait until the icon comes up before I charge it. Have you been involved with that, or you just charge it when you think you need it?
Well, I have like about 4 or 5 batteries for it. What I do is I kill the battery, throw the battery on charge, and just grab another battery. And I just keep rotating the batteries. I don't even bother with it. I always just have an extra battery with me.
Well, I have the pack where you put in the alkaline. That's what I really haven't used. I tried it. It worked. So, you don't wait for the icon. When it goes down and it starts to die on you, then you charge it up. That's what you do?
That's exactly what I do. Yeah, I don't worry about it. Like I said, I think I have 5 batteries for it. I just keep rotating the batteries.
Okay, let me get out both the pail. I'll be back. N2ZUC Mobile. 2WKP, N2ZUC Mobile.
Okay, Ron, we're back. This is N2WKP. Yeah, Ron, I don't even bother. My eyes aren't that good. I can't look at that stupid little symbol. When the battery's no good, slap a new one on. It's the easiest thing you can do. You carry an extra one or two with you if you're going out.
Well, I was just trying to do it according to what the book says. I got to run in. Good talking to you. Enjoy the sunshine. We have plenty of rain, that's for sure. It's still windy, but it's not bad. It's nice there. Catch you later. 7-3 for now, Fred. And this is Ed Houston.
Ron, look with me on one of the HF fans.
Okie dokie. Go looking for you. Who's that you see up?
Thank you.
fly mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
KV2TXQ is listening.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
KD2FIU. KD2FIU. KD2AKX. George, you on the frequency?
KD2UZT Mobile. That wasn't me, Sam, but I'm listening. This is KD2UDU. I think KD2UDT just keyed up. Is that correct?
Uniform Zulu Tango. KD2 Uniform Zulu Tango. Hi, Wayne. It's Ken.
Ken, yeah, I wasn't sure. I'm sitting here just listening. And Sam, I don't know if you heard him, Sam, KD2NSJ, thought you were me.
Okay, afternoon, yeah, Wayne, I'll fuck you 1 second. Afternoon, Ken, fucking New York, so the name is Sam, KD2NSJ, and I'm located in Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of noise. I'm using my, I got the HT in the mobile. I think it's not receiving too well at the moment. So I'll just stand by on the side if you hear me.
Okay. Okay, Wayne, how you been? How you feel?
Good, Sam. I'm good. You didn't by chance bet on the 21 horse, did you?
Wayne, I would not be talking to you on this radio. I bought my new radio right away.
Shocker that was. You know, when I placed my bets Friday, that horse wasn't even listed.
No, it wasn't, Wayne. It just came in after. After you placed your bets like Friday night, the 20 horse was suspended, right? Or whatever reason, medical or whatever. And he signed in. But Wayne, when I watched the movie, that's a strong horse. Oh, my God. Wait, he was about number 8. And Kane just kept coming on.
You know, usually the closers can't get through the crowd. He must have found an opening.
Yeah, he came from the outside, right? Three or four. He's strong. I'm telling you, that red stripe is strong. So every time you got a chance, you jump two horses coming into the left. I watched him, he came to the outside, and he didn't go with the outside group. He went straight in, Wayne. Then he was on the fifth from the rail. And then every time he saw open, he moved right away, Wayne. He didn't wait, he didn't stay. If it was a little opening, he went right away until he got into that first time.
A shocker. And I think there was probably dead silence after that race at Churchill down.
82 Yeah, Wayne, it was. But the people that did that all was killing it. You know, like I saw the camera go through the crowd. And you knew who won that horse. Nobody really won the movie. Nobody won a jockey. Nobody won Triple. All the long shots. I don't like those guys. But on long shots, they were yelling. When I looked at the hard payoff, maybe about 10 people out of that whole crowd had a triple.
That was his first time. But here's the question, Sam. What's going to happen in 3 weeks? Do you think he'll win the Preakness?
Yeah, Wayne, nobody's going to beat him. Right now, I'm telling you. Because he's not going to be in 20 spots. Wayne, he's going to be in like the rail, fourth or fifth. Once you get in there, the rail is going. Wait, nobody in this crowd could be no crowd. He came from last Broadway. That's straight. So if he's maybe four or five or two or three, somebody from there. He had to work at this point. Jockey's got real experience from real work. He had to work his way into the rail. So if he starts to get the rail, go straight. I don't think there's nobody out there who's seen that horse right now today. So how am I going to do that? I'm putting him in a box. Put him up four of his
necks. I'm having a hard time hearing you with all this. I think it's the repeater. It's like this noise that builds and then drops and builds and then drops. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, I'm anxious to see what will happen in 3 weeks.
Yep, meet your way, but I'm betting no way. I'm going to bet like six people in a box with $2 bet. I'm going to do the triple with him and five other horses, okay? $20 pot on each of the two things, the exacta and the triple, and at least $20 on each set of them, with just the seahorse with four other ones. I just know he's going to win, Wayne. I just know it. So I'm going to key him with four other horses in a box, and then I should be okay.
I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm sure he's going to be in. I don't normally key horses. I box the bet. But keying it, I guess, is better because you save money.
Yeah, or you can do a key box, Wayne. If you bet in a triple, right, you put him in there.
That many horses. I kind of got away from betting triples anyway. because I was losing too much money. It was easier just to do exactas, or even win bet. Like yesterday, or not yesterday, but Saturday, all I had was win bets. But I won the race after the Derby. I won the exacta on that.
Wow, Wayne, that was good. Yeah, I'm going to do exactly too, Wayne. I'm going to do like you. I'm going to put 5 horses in exactly. If you box 5 for $2, he's about $18. He's going to come, but he's not going to pay a lot now. Not this current. Wayne, he's going to pay $55. And then the other horses in your box will pay, you know. So I'm going to do like you.
What did the exacta pay for the Derby? Do you remember? Was it like $4,000, something like that?
Yeah, the triple paid $4,401. I wrote it all down. The exacta was $1,400. The triple was $400. And oh, Wayne, like what I always like to bet on the Superfecta, paid $15,000.
Yeah. Oh well. Well, I could never have bet the. I put all my bets in Friday, and he wasn't even offered Friday. They put him in, I guess, overnight. So there's no way that he's on any of my tickets. I can't even hear you anymore. There's someone. I'm not even sure if it's noise or if somebody's keying up. Anyway, I gotta go back in. Damn it! The end of my lunch break. So I'll say 7-3. And Ken, if you're still out there, sorry to hog up the frequency. 7-3. And we'll talk to you guys later. All right?
Yeah, Wayne. I'll call you when you get off. All right? Sorry about that. Ken, sorry for holding up the program. 7-3, Wayne, I'm clear.
Hey, this is 32 UDU, I'm out.
Okay, Wayne.
192.168.145. IRLP, node enabled.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active. W2OSR.
This is WB2CMF. I'm looking for someone in Glen Oaks.
Oh, I can't help you. I'm not in Glen Oaks. W2OSR.
Okay, W2OSR, WB2CMF. Up at the Selden site, we just want to make sure that everything is working between the two sites.
Yeah, well, I just turned the radio on, and I don't know if there's anybody at Glen Oaks.
That's okay, because you're going through Glen Oaks, and I'm going through Selden, so that proves the two systems are working and linked.
Okay. Who's that? There's Lou out there with you in Selden?
Yeah, we got the three of us, Steve, Lou, and myself.
All right, well, good luck. It sounds good to me from what I can hear right now.
Hey, Bob, you dropped out for a little bit. It just moved one of the cabinets, you know, we're trying to get this rebuilt. Okay, let me go. I just want to make sure that we're still working.
All right, take care. Good luck with all the jobs you're doing out there. W2OSR.
W2OSR, WB2CMF. Thanks a lot, Bob. 7-3.
Kilo Delta 2, Whiskey India Whiskey, radio check. Can I have a radio check, please?
Thank you for the radio check. You're coming in with a little bit of background crackle. This is Whiskey Bravo 2, Mike Sierra Bravo. Come back with your call again.
Yes, sir. This is Kilo Delta 2, Whiskey India Whiskey, KD2WIW. Set up outside at the park right now. Pulled out my awning on the truck, set up a table, and got my Jackery out. So I'm doing a little outdoor radio day for myself. Took the day off. So let me know how you copy me. Over.
Okay, Charlie. Fine business. That last one was better. I guess you're coming in through the Glen Oaks repeater. The audio was a little better then. If you're using an HT, it might just be that you're not holding it straight up and down. If you tilt it sideways, it might not hit the repeater all that well. Which park are you sitting in? My name is Laurie Mike, Alpha Uniform Romeo Yankee. I'm in Stony Brook in Suffolk County. Go ahead.
Copy that. I am in Little Bay Park, Fort Totten. So I parked my truck at the last spot on the lot and set up my awning on the grass right next to the spot. Set up a little table. I'm using my ICOM. No, I'm sorry. Not the ICOM. The Yaesu FT8800. I bought this radio a couple months back and I wasn't pleased with the power output readings I was getting. It's only getting about 40, 45 watts on VHF. But I figured I'd take it out and test it out and see how it's doing. I did a modification to the microphone, too, because I kept getting reports of low audio. So I took the mic apart, took out this little plastic piece, and drilled out the hole a little bit bigger. So hopefully, it's coming in. And, yeah. Name here is Charlie. I'm sorry, what did you say your name was again?
Okay, Charlie, fine business. My name is Maury, Mike Alpha Uniform Romeo Yankee, and I know exactly the spot you're speaking of. You're sitting right there next to the military facility and the fire department training center. And I guess if you look across the, right under the bridge there, you'll see Fort Schuyler and the New York Maritime College. So it looks like a beautiful day. Might be a little windy out there, but very good. Back to you.
W2OSR.
Welcome to W2OSR, KD2WIW. Yeah, it is a little bit windy today. I'm testing this awning for the first time, and it's creaking and making all kinds of noise, but I tied it down, so hopefully it won't fly away. It flew away once already when I was trying to set it up, but so my buddy Eric gave me this antenna that he had built out of... he 3D printed these pieces and put it together, 82HWB. So he had given this to me. I told him I'd test it out and let him know how it works. So, is my audio clear? How's the audio sounding on this antenna?
The audio sounds fine. I think you said an FT8800. Interesting that that's the radio that my Anytone is a knockoff of, I think. I heard Bob, Whiskey 2 OSR out there, so let me pass it to Bob, and then you can send it back to Charlie. Bob?
Okay, good afternoon, guys. Just heading from Glen Cove to Jericho. any rate, yeah, we can tell you're on the water because I can hear the wind blowing, or at least close to the water there. But the antenna seems to be working very well. Of course, you're not that far from the repeater where you said you were. So, that's not really going to be a true test of the antenna. You have to get to a place where the signals aren't too strong, and then you'll know. Let's see, who's up next? I think it's Charlie?
Yes, sir, it's definitely windy. Hoping my whole setup doesn't just get a blow away. But, this is the first time I've actually done, like, an outdoor, I guess, would you call this an activation? I don't know. But yeah, this is the first time I'm doing this. I've been looking forward to it a lot. I have a Slim Jim antenna that I'm probably going to put up in a few as well and test that out, but just a lot of equipment that I never really got to test. I'm out here in the field now testing it out, so it feels good.
All right, WB2MSB returning. Okay. Well, enjoy. Try and stay out of the sun. And I will catch you guys a little bit later. I have to get back to work here. WB2MSB. And pass it over to W2OSR. And 73 for now. Charlie, good luck.
Okay, Maury. Take care. I'm not used to hearing you on anything other than DMR, but this is upset. Go back to work, you unfortunate, still working person. I say that because I'm retired here, Charlie. And, yeah, Maury used to frequent the DMR repeater system that Limark is hooked into. All right. Yeah, I know. I came out of the house to go out in the car, and I said, oh, it's warm out. Then the wind blew, and I said, time to go back and get a jacket. Charlie?
Yeah, it is a little chilly out today. Better than it was the rest of the weekend, though. This weekend was terrible. I was looking forward to getting outside after this week, working overtime this week, but it rained Friday, and then it rained Saturday all day, so I didn't get to ride my bike or anything. But, yeah, the weather's nice out today. Like I said, a little bit windy. But it's going good. I took the day off. I had to go and go into City MD to get some allergy medication. Allergies have been killing me. It was a good day. 82 WIW back here.
All right. Yep. What they were doing, they were giving me drops to put up. It helped with the season. I'm sure what you're doing is a traditional method is you go see the doctor. She was something that's a... Hopefully whatever you're doing is working.
Something weird happened there. I only got... It was this weird, it sounded like a jet engine. It cut off like every other sentence of that. So, can you try that one more time?
Yeah, all right. I'm not sure if I've got a problem with the microphone in here or not, because I've heard this from other people. I'm going to have to check the antenna connections, too, and make sure nothing's loosened up again. Oh, well. I'm just saying, I was being treated for allergies. They were giving me drops that I put underneath my tongue. That helped quite a bit with the seasonal allergies. It didn't do too much for the few food allergies that I have. So, you know, whatever's working for you, I'm glad it's working.
Someone was just accidentally keying up.
KD2 WIW. Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it may be a mic, because that last one was perfect. I heard everything you said. But, I don't know, it was weird. Well, can I get your call sign again? And your name? I don't think I got your name.
All right, the name is Bob, Bravo, Oscar Bravo. And the call sign is W2OSR or Whiskey
2 Oscar Sierra Romeo. Hope that helps.
Okay, Bob, I got your call sign. There's the other one that was that I wasn't sure about, but you guys sounded the same for a little bit, so anyway. I'm gonna start hopping around some other repeaters and try some Simplex. Maybe I can get into the Bronx from over here because I'm right on the water. So I'm gonna say 7-3s. Thanks for coming back, and QSL, good stuff.
All right, take care, 7-3 Charlie. And if I was at home, I'd drive down towards the water and see if I could get you. Since I'm up on the North Shore in Glenhill. 7-3.
7-3, you enjoy the rest of your day. 82 WIW, I'll be clear.
FlyMark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
KNV testing 12345 54321. NY2H K2KNV.
Somebody trying to get in, but you're all noise. Just want to let you know. Scanning around out here. This is KB2 JKW Portable in Astoria. Could hear your voice in the background, but you're all noise. You're like 95% noise.
NYRK Mobile, southbound 287.
Mobile station, you're in there. How you doing? Good afternoon. This is KB2, JKW Portable. I was just scanning around, sitting outside on the porch for a little while here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, name here is Bill. I'm just en route back to North Carolina. I was up in New England for a week. Yeah, so is this, I'm on 14685. So is this the repeater out of Long Island?
That's correct. It's the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater, Limark repeater. It's kind of on the border of Queens and Long Island. Very good. Safe driving. Sound great. North Carolina. Do you live in North Carolina? Kind of jealous, actually. I want to move out of New York. Heavily considering it. Most likely Florida, though. My name is Nifon, by the way. N-I-P-H-O-N, Nifon. And I'm about 15 miles from the repeater. Portable in Queens. That's very good. Back over to you, Bill.
Hi, Nifon. I grew up in New Hampshire. I moved way back in 05. But yeah, the cost of living up this way, I mean, I know New York's really expensive anyways, but, you know, up in New Hampshire, it's pretty huge. It's kind of like the prices I would have thought it would be to, like, you know, buy a home in New York or rent or something, but, yeah, it's a lot cheaper to live down North Carolina now. Even more expensive areas are relatively cheap. And weather's pretty decent, so Yeah, I didn't know the 850 repeater worked so well over here on this side of New Jersey. It's the one on the side of the work machine. I used to use it more when I was coming to 95, but I didn't know it worked this far west of the city.
Yeah, well, it's a good repeater, and it's got a lot of height. You were a little noisy there, though, toward the end. Probably just in a bad spot. But yeah, the prices, everything's expensive. The weather, I don't really like the cold weather. I don't like winter and snow and all that. I'd rather try to get away from it at this point. I've been living here for my whole life. So, yeah, you know, like I said, I'm considering it, kind of leaning towards it, to tell you the truth. I have a friend who's also a ham that moved down there. My niece moved down there. And my sister and my brother-in-law are probably moving down there, like, within a year or two or something like that. So, and, you know, it seems a lot of people are leaving New York anyway, so, I don't know, kind of thinking about it myself. KB2, JKW, portable. Back over to you, Bill. Let's see if you're making it, hopefully.
Three-quarter signal strength to full scale here. Yeah, well, you move out of New York, there's a lot of areas you definitely have to have a car.
Yeah, I know. I don't mind that. I don't go out that much anyway. I'm sort of a homebody. I enjoy my radio hobby and my other hobbies and... Maybe, I'm into, like, radio control helicopters and stuff, so I would, you know, like to have, like, an actual club, maybe, where I can go for that. But I know, yeah, I'm aware to drive. I don't care about that. I'd rather drive than be here and take the subway to work every day and, you know, I just don't like the hustle and bustle of New York, and I just don't like it anymore. I don't like anything about it, to be honest with you. But, yeah, that's fine. I mean, better weather, and I can enjoy my hobbies more and all the rest of it. Better living, I think, overall. That's why a lot of people are just moving down, moving out of here, unfortunately. It's kind of a sad thing, because New York is, you know, it's a good place, but it's lately, I don't know, kind of going downhill, in my opinion.
Well, I 2 years ago, I bought a three-bedroom house, 1,100 square feet. Everything was up. They have been remodeled. Didn't have to do anything. It was $115,000. I mean, I was blown away.
Can't even get a condo for that much over here.
It's brought some things up a bit, but, you know, I could probably sell my house for, like, maybe $170 now, but, I mean, it's still, I mean, I look at my place and compare it to stuff up in New Hampshire, and I'm like, oh, I could probably get around $350,000 or $400,000 for my house. You know, out of New York, I know, like, real estate is premium. So, I mean, I love to visit New York. I want to be able to hustle and bustle, you know, and something lower nowadays, and I'm okay with that. And when I'm already capable.
Nah, that's it, Bill. You might be getting on the fringes there, on the outskirts of the range of the repeater. I'm not sure, but I'm going to wish you safe driving. And good talking to you. I haven't been very active on the air lately. Figured since I'm sitting outside, I charged up the battery of the HP and everything. Let me try to get on the air a little bit. But it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I wish you well, 73s. And hopefully we will bump into each other again at some point. I don't know if you're on HF. I'm trying to get on the HF a little bit more also. But wish you well again, and take care, my friend.
Yeah, it's 73. I am on HF. And, yeah, surprise,
left over here, so it's